The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Bokeh tov, pretty good, thank you. Just when we thought the election was over, apparently it's not.
It's not. Tell us why.
Apparently no. Well, because of all the drama that's going on this morning with the count of the votes that are double sealed, the ones that have been cast by soldiers and by prisoners and by diplomats overseas and by sailors who officially have a right to cast a double vote, and also patients in hospitals. Those are the votes that are that have been counted overnight. And early reports are suggesting that Naftali Bennett and his new right party may well have been a significant beneficiary, a big winner in this particular process, because after the initial votes were counted, before the double votes, he was just below the election threshold. I think he received 3.2% of the vote when 3.25 was required.
Wow.
There were reports that he was only like 3,000 or 4,000 votes short of actually getting 4 seats in the Knesset. And it's really the difference between 4 or 0. There's nothing in between, because the threshold is for 4 seats. So if you can't achieve those 4 seats, then you don't get a seat.
Oh, I was wondering about that. I didn't understand how they were either going to get 4 seats or nothing. It just didn't make sense
to me. So that's because the threshold has been increased gradually over time and now stands at 3.25%, which is the equivalent of 4 Knesset seats if you look at 3.25% of the 120-seat Knesset, number of people that sit in the Knesset. So early reports this morning are suggesting that he sneaked over the line with the benefit of those votes from the IDF soldiers. By just a few votes. I mean, it's really in the realm of dozens of votes, perhaps, that have helped him to sneak over the line. And of course, what that means is that the lie of the land changes, because if he's going to get 4 seats, then those 4 seats are going to have to be given up somewhere else. And early reports are suggesting that Kahol Lavan might be big losers here, that they may lose as many as 2 seats out of the 35 that they were originally allocated as a result of Naftali Bennett coming in. And it seems as if, though, the Unified Right Party, which is really the old Bayit HaYehudi and National Religious Party where Naftali Bennett used to be, it seems like they're going to give up a seat. And it looks as if, though, the United Torah Judaism Party may also give up a seat in the process of this reshuffle. So the number of seats is yet to be finalized, and the early reports have not yet been confirmed. But this is what's coming out of the Knesset, where those double votes are being counted up this morning. And I'm expecting that during the course of the next few hours, we will have some confirmation as to what the final Knesset layout will be now that all the votes have been counted up.
Really, really amazing. What's your gut? Do you think that Naftali Bennett, it will be confirmed that they'll be in?
It looks like it. I mean, it's very, very difficult for me to say. It's not really gut instinct. It's just a question of whether the numbers are there or not. And obviously, all the numbers need to be verified. But from the early reports, I mean, we did know that Naftali Bennett was just a very few votes short. And in fact, he'd made an announcement saying that, you know, while he was very disappointed that he had not been elected, that he was going to fight the result, and he had asked people who supported him to report any instances of where they thought things might have not been done according to the law, and where he might be able to gain from the fact that a challenge might uphold him getting a few extra votes. But I think ultimately he was really hoping that the soldiers' votes would bring him over the line. And what he said was that even though he needed only – that he gained something like just over 3% of the national vote, he needed 5% of all of the soldiers' votes in order to take him over the line. And it seems like he managed to do that.
Right. And it's still a very, very poor showing, whether he makes it in or not. I would imagine that he's got some soul searching to do.
True. I think it's very disappointing for him, because ironically, the party that he left behind, which then went on to join up with the National Religious Party to contest a joint list, actually did better than the one that he formed new with Ayelet Shaked. And he thought that people would come with him. And what he did was he left the kind of religious billing behind. He tried to form a right-wing party, even though he himself
is
Orthodox religious, a Zionist religious. He tried to leave that kind of stuff behind and say he's forming a party for people, like-minded people, not necessarily only for religious people. And that seems somehow to have backfired on him, because I think that most of his support really came from the Zionist religious people within Israel who respected him. And I think that they were inclined to stay with the religious party rather than to support him in his new party.
Fascinating, because he very clearly called sentiment wrong.
I think so. I think that that's a fair statement. I think that from an individual perspective, I think he made a bad judgment call on this. And, you know, I think there's also a question about, you know, we discussed the point about whether politicians are held to account for their achievements or lack of achievements in the past, and whether that has some sort of a bearing in the new Knesset and the way that people voted in the last election. And I'm guessing that Naftali Bennett is going to have to stand up and think about that, because he was, you know, the Minister of Education, and he was a member of the Security Cabinet, and he was very involved, for example, in the Security Cabinet during the time of Operation Protective Edge. And he was very proud to mention those achievements when he made his announcement last night. But the question is whether he perhaps did not achieve enough, or whether maybe his achievements were not properly publicized, whether people don't respect it. I don't know whether, you know, any of that has really anything to do with the way that people voted. So, you know, I think that's going to be an interesting discussion to have, and an interesting thought process about how, in fact, previous achievements really potentially influence on the way that people vote
absolutely.
In the future.
And Mervyn saying Bennett might have shot himself in the foot. I tend to agree with that. Moving on, the Attorney General has indicated that he will be willing to delay Prime Minister Netanyahu's pre-indictment hearing. Does he have grounds? I mean, they obviously are, otherwise he wouldn't have said it, to agree to the delay.
So obviously there's a lot of speculation around this, and indeed a lot of attention being focused on this, because the Attorney General, of course, has come out looking a little bit like he's really trying to hold Prime Minister Netanyahu to account by announcing this indictment during the period of the election campaign. So he has come out publicly as being an individual who's not really sympathetic to Prime Minister Netanyahu's cause, or sympathetic to the fact that he happens to be Prime Minister while all of these indictment charges are going on. And yet now he is announced that he's prepared to delay the pre-indictment hearing, which almost looks like he's pandering and giving in to a Netanyahu request. And the question is, why would he do that? Apparently the pre-indictment hearing was set for July. That was the original date, according to the legal system, that this hearing was due to have been held. And apparently Netanyahu's attorneys had made application to the Attorney General to delay it due to the volume of information, apparently, that has been made available as part of the indictment. Apparently there's extensive material in this particular matter, and that Netanyahu's lawyers would like more time to look through it. And so we understand that the Attorney General has agreed that hearing can be delayed until early September. So it's not a substantial delay. It's not something which I think makes a huge difference to the overall process. But it does kind of make it look like the Attorney General is trying to be more sympathetic towards the Netanyahu point of view by agreeing to this delay. It might well be grounded, you know, with the volume of material, and might have precedent in law that this might be a standard practice for people who are in this situation. When they make application to delay things, it might just be a standard thing that is granted. And yet, you know, of course, in the public eye, it almost looks as if though the Attorney General at this stage is trying to help Netanyahu in some way. I don't see it that way, to be honest. I think the delay of a few weeks is neither here nor there.
Absolutely.
I don't think it has any bearing,
you know,
on the case.
If they were suggesting that it gets delayed until after his term in office, it's a different story. But
or even 3 or 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, but to talk about a few weeks, I think, is completely irrelevant, really, in terms of the scheme of things. I mean, this has gone on for so long in any event.
Indeed, but of course, every little piece of the story will have relevance to somebody. And of course, this is going to be in the public eye for a long time. And the question is, how long is that process going to take until the Prime Minister ultimately has to appear in court? And I think that that is going to be the very interesting moment, because that is the moment at which politicians in the country alike will need to decide whether a Prime Minister who has a job in office to do can logically also defend himself in court while running the country. And I think that there's going to be some decision making at that moment as to whether he can really continue in office.
Yeah, I mean, Israel is not a stranger to politicians being prosecuted and going to jail. But as far as I recall, this is all at the end of their terms in office. Is that right?
Well, Prime Minister Olmert actually resigned from office when he was indicted. And so there is a precedent for that. And I think it was exactly the right move, both for the country and for him. And I suspect that there will be increasing pressure on Netanyahu when that moment comes, when the court date is set for him to appear and to turn up to defend himself. I think that there's going to be a huge amount of pressure on him to step down at that point.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely fascinating. It's a story that just will not be going away until it is resolved. Israel's Bereshit lunar craft is due to land on the moon tonight. Is it all going according to plan?
Apparently so. Apparently everything is in place. Apparently, despite the fact that there were some little hiccups along the way, there were some little
early on
missteps.
There certainly were. Yeah.
Yeah. Not one or two. There were quite a number along the way. But things are all in place for the lunar landing tonight on the Sea of Serenity on the moon. It's supposed to take place at around 9:30 tonight, South African time. And Israel has already set a number of records along the way, a number of firsts in terms of achieving, just getting to this point, even if the landing doesn't go according to plan in the end, and we hope that it will do. But even in the event that that doesn't happen, there's already a number of firsts. First of all, this particular lunar craft is the first that's been built by a non-governmental organization ever that's gone to the moon. So that's the first point. The second point is that when the Bereshit craft left the Earth's orbit and moved into lunar orbit, that became only the seventh country, Israel became only the seventh country in the world to successfully put a spacecraft into the moon's orbit. So we're already in the top seven countries just having achieved that. Now, of course, we're going for the lunar landing, which has only been achieved by three other countries before. And so Israel is due to become the fourth lunar landing country after the U.S., Russia, then the USSR, when the first time they had a lunar module, and of course China. Those are the only three countries that so far have had a lunar landing. Israel is due to become the fourth. And of course there's a great deal of excitement as the critical last steps were taken yesterday when the craft was maneuvered from the orbit that it was in around the moon. It was in an orbit that was going around the moon, and then it had to move into some sort of an elliptical orbit. And so there was a little bit of maneuvering that went on, apparently about 30 seconds of engine fire in order to move the spacecraft into this elliptical orbit. It used up 5 kilograms of fuel, we are told, which is a critical point as well, because obviously there was only a limited amount of fuel that was placed on the craft to begin with when it took off from Cape Canaveral a few weeks ago. So all in all, things are going to plan. Lots and lots of excitement everywhere. I think many people in Israel, 10:30 tonight Israeli time, 9:30 South African time, I think many people will be watching to see how that lunar landing goes. And of course, holding thumbs that everything will go according to plan. The budget, 350 million shekels, about $100 million, wow. Almost no money at all for a venture of this sort of nature. So all in all, it looks like it's going to be exciting tonight as we watch to see whether the landing will be safely carried out. And the Bereshit aircraft, spacecraft, with all kinds of interesting things on board, extracts from the Torah and all kinds of interesting things, will be placed on the moon.
Absolutely incredible. Certainly I'm going to try and see if I can watch that live. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Thank you for an incredible week of reporting, especially the week of that Israel went to the polls. I hope you have a chance over the weekend just to kick back and relax a little bit, and we will chat to you Monday morning, same time as we always do. You have a Shabbat Shalom.